Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to the Transmissions Podcast, where we talk all Hasbro, Takara, and third party Transformers. On this Energon fueled episode of Transmissions, we are joined by our good friend Jimmers of Distortion Productions as we discuss Masterpiece Hound. Transform Element is coming out with a legend scale Beast Wars Black Arachnia, and Toys R Us returns online. Today is Wednesday, June 12th, 2019, and this is episode 333 of Transmissions.
Welcome to Transmissions, the podcast that's been priced out of the Masterpiece Transformers market until our Patreon blows up.
That was so perfect.
That was, yes, one of the best intros. I feel that pain. Yep.
I'm your host, Charles, a.k.a. Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Yusuf, better known as Yoshi.
Yo!
Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Hey, how you doing?
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Hello. Let's talk Transformers.
Hot.
I know, right? Yeah, I was working on that.
This is post-Pride Month, Daryl.
I think it's all Pride Month. It should be all Pride Month all year. Be proud, Yoshi. You shouldn't have to hide yourself.
Did you not hear Jimmers and I talk just before you hit record?
I did.
Okay, then.
Be proud.
And we all are proud. We're proud of each other and proud of everyone else. And we are welcoming back a special guest to the show, a longtime friend of the show, Donatrion, and local hero, Jimmers. Jim Simonic.
Hello, guys. Hello. So good to be back.
Producer of the Electronic Saviors series, the Respect the Prime and Constructed Cold albums, and the upcoming Respect the Prime LP, all from Distortion Productions.
Wow, I couldn't have said that better myself. Can I hire you for, like...
Radio spots?
That is, like, the best...
Jimmers, Charles is under contract to finish a Christmas album first, and then, then you can have him.
Can I put out that Christmas album on Distortion?
As long as I get my 5% cut, you can do whatever you want.
Is that just like the Big C's Christmas?
Yeah.
Is that what we're calling that?
We could talk off the air. We could move those to official negotiations. Let's focus on the show right now.
What you don't know is that C doesn't stand for Charles. His name is actually Big Christmas.
Big Christmas. But you should know that we do not give artist advances and we do not give tour support.
Well, I don't have a good voice. So I mean, you get what you pay for. Anyway, let's have a Transformers podcast. How about that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Jimmers, thanks for coming back on the show. And we are all eagerly awaiting the upcoming Respect the Prime LP. Maybe for those who have not heard of your previous work, maybe you could talk a little bit about Distortion Productions and the Electronic Savior series and what it is and you know, your local major award that you got, all that stuff. Let's have a chat.
You know, for everyone that has heard all this before, I'll be quick. Electronic Saviors started in 2009, 2010, after I was diagnosed with stage 2B, but now I understand it was stage 3 colorectal cancer. We put out 5 volumes to date, plus the Respect the Prime, 2 Respect the Prime CDs, 86 Revisited, the soundtrack, tribute record, and the Constructed Cold EP. And we have raised over 70K total to date, working on volume 6 of Electronic Saviors now, and have my fingers crossed to have this Respect the Prime LP vinyl record ready to go for TFCon Toronto. It's in the manufacturer's hands at this point, so there's really nothing I could do. Yes, the local award, the ASCRS, which I believe you guys touched on last week, was it Society of Colorectal Surgeons? They chose me as their local hero, who they choose somebody every year that has survived colorectal cancer and has used that to do something positive. So my doctor, Dr. David Medich, he actually is the one that nominated me for this. And when I saw him at the Cleveland ceremony, which was a huge, it was like, I mean, we're used to going to Comic-Cons. This was my first time ever going to something like this, where it was essentially a Comic-Con for doctors. I mean, it was laid out the same way a Comic-Con is, you know, with like rooms and panels, and except they're talking about like breakthroughs in science and
important,
you know,
stuff.
Yeah, stuff that matters, you know. And I mean, to be in that environment was very, very humbling, and I couldn't believe that getting that kind of recognition for doing something like this outside of the scene that I'm in and the Transformers cons was mind blowing. Like the reception was at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which I don't know if you guys have ever been there, but it's pretty cool. But it was, they just let the whole ASCRS have the run of the mill that night. So there was like 2,500 doctors there, and I was walking through among them. Did not belong, didn't look like I belonged at all, you know, and, you know, they're all shaking my hand and saying that congratulations, because they showed the video that was shot. And so everyone got to see it that was in that room at the time. It was very, I guess, what would be comparable to Hall H from San Diego Comic-Con. It was like that kind of size room where Marvel does all their all their reveals and stuff. But it was insane, and I get emotional, you know, when I think about it, because like I feel like, you know, I've come so far, and it's to people like you guys who are supporters of what I do. It's taken a long time and a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to get here, and we are working on Volume 6, and I do want to get a Respect the Prime 2 out at some point, but it's kind of on the back burner right now, because after Electronic Saviors Volume 6, that's the last box set I'm going to do. There will be plenty more Electronic Saviors releases, and I want to do a lot more with Transformers than what I've done so far, because I was really happy with the way Constructed Cold came out. You know, that's almost that I wouldn't mind doing something exclusive to each, like maybe do a CD of all Marvel based stories from the comics, and you know, do
CD of all scrounge based
music. Like I just spoke with Josh. I booked him on a show last week, and I talked to him. I'm like, you know, a lot of people really dig that track, man. You know, so we're thinking of putting out his material on Distortion. So yeah, I got to thank you guys for everything that you've done, all the support, and the sales at TF Cons are always amazing. And yeah, so I thank everybody that has helped, and we're going to keep going as long as we can. As long as there's interest, we'll keep doing it.
Yeah, that's great. Congratulations on all that success, and $70,000 for cancer research. That's awesome and amazing. So everyone, if you're going to TFCon, hopefully Toronto, but definitely TFCon DC, meet up with Jimmers and pick up a Respect the Prime LP vinyl record if you're interested. That's you know, and it's all going to a good cause. So
yep. Awesome. And it's also going to be online.
Yeah, the pre-orders are up now on distortionprod.com. Like, they're all up there now. So the people who aren't fortunate enough to go to TFCon can still not miss out on the fun. There's two colors. There's a purple and a red. And I can say, you know, I could tell you guys already that the purple is outselling the red by a huge margin. So the purples will be gone first.
I'm getting both.
My man.
Well, we will definitely have links in the show notes, so everyone who wants to order it and pre-order it can link directly from our website, and you know, we'll probably put it up on social media too. So,
and if I could give a nice little plug to my boy Casey Collar and John Paul Bove, it is their artwork gracing the cover of this. So yeah, it's gonna be Oh, I'm dying to see it. I'm dying to actually hold it in my hands, like to see this artwork that Casey and John Paul did, because
this new artwork?
No, it's the version of the CD that is sold out. Oh. The first one.
It's just you want to see it at that scale.
Yeah, that scale, and plus there is new liner notes inside. So there, mm. Yeah, I wrote new liner notes. And because there were some things that you have to do for vinyl that I had to have it completely remastered for vinyl, which is something that you have to do because I don't exactly know why, but it's necessary. It's something that you can't get away with just, you know, giving them the waves from the CD. It has to be remastered. So it will, you know, maybe sound it'll have a clarity to it that you don't get with the CD or an MP3. But I think everyone's going to be pretty happy with it.
That's you know, it's great to talk to you about what you're doing in at Distortion Productions and all the good stuff coming up. But of course, we're here to talk about Transforming Robots. So
yes,
let's get into that. As always, we want to thank our Donatrions, of which Jimmers is one. You lovely people who give us money on Patreon and PayPal. It's not for as good a cause as cancer research, but it does keep the podcast going, so we do appreciate it. We invite anyone who is interested in supporting the show to continue to do that and go to transmissionspodcast.com/support, and that's where you can find links to sign up there. Also, if you want to buy some merchandise from us, you can go to our T Public store. That's at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. You can also go to our friend of the show, K-Girl Store, who is our awesome artist who's done lots of work on our website and our podcast. You can check out K-Girl's T Public Store at tpublic.com/user/superstarK. Now, as Jeremy and Daryl mentioned last week, we have new T-shirt designs. They are up. They are available. You can check them out. Maybe you want to pick up one right before TFCon and show off your love for Transmissions at TFCon.
I would recommend getting it like sooner than right before because, you know, you want to give time for shipping.
Yes. So get it now. Order it now. I wasn't saying wait a couple weeks. Do it now. Do it now.
Operators are standing by.
To sweeten the pot, so for all you Donatrons, we have a special code that gives you 30% off everything at TeePublic. So not just our stuff, but all the you know, all the shirts, everything at TeePublic that's available, all that merchandise. So go through our link and check out our code. If you are on our Patreon, you have access to our code there. Or you can go to our Discord in the Donatrons Only channel and get the code.
Yeah, it's a pinned message.
Yes.
And the code does not work during TeePublic sales, which is typically a 30% off sale anyway.
Right.
So, but it's all any regularly priced item. I think the shirts are great. I can't wait until I get, you know, some of my own.
I've got my whole wardrobe for TFCon mapped out now with these three shirts. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
You're buying an extra small now, right, Charles?
just larger, extra large. That fits.
Well, probably the most popular design that we have is, I think we're calling it Boombox Man. It is the
how third party good, of you?
Yeah, it's the good guy counterpart to our Tape Man, which we did last year. It is a red shirt with a cassette playing mechanism in the front, so you can guess who it is.
It's Blaster, everybody.
It's Blaster. And this was designed by Mike, or I think, Daryl, didn't we promote him last week? He's our producer.
Yes, he's got a promotion.
So sue him, Hasbro.
Same pay. But so he designed it, and then Daryl came up with this great idea for making an Autobot logo look alike, but it says good guy in the logo, and I couldn't do it justice with my hacking Photoshop skills, but he gave it to K-Girl, and she knocked it out of the park. The next shirt we have is kind of a vintage-looking podcast logo shirt. It's kind of crackled-looking as if, you know, it was like a shirt from that's been worn a while and, you know, maybe like a shirt from the 80s or something.
We're going with the siege battle damage theme.
No, it doesn't look like you have mud on it. And then the last one is it's like a rub sign with like the generic kind of podcast logo. That's more of a hoping that other podcasters might get it and stuff. It's just like a podcaster in disguise type thing. It was I was going to use it if the good guy logo didn't work out. I was going to use that, and then I'm like, I want to use that logo somewhere. So I just do it on as a third shirt.
Check out the rub sign. It's legit.
Yes. And maybe if you wear it, someone will come up and rub your chest. I don't know.
Oh, boy.
So anyway, yeah, transmissionspodcast.com/shop has all of those.
So check those out and let's talk about some toys.
I got a couple little Legends figures to talk about this week. And the first one is from Transform Element. It's their MM-001 Black Arachnia. And it's the Beast Wars mold, but it's in Legends scale. So that's kind of cool. You know, on the heels of the Masterpiece Black Arachnia coming out. And we got this news. So this is kind of neat. We don't have any pictures of it in, you know, spider mode, but this is a lot closer, I think, to what Black Arachnia looked like in Beast Wars with the, you know, the hourglass-shaped, you know, Black Widow-looking piece on the back that will obviously end up on the, on her, like, I don't know, is it not, is it thorax? I don't know what they call it, but that part of the spider, but
hindquarters.
Yeah, let's go with that. All in all, it looks like a, you know, an upgraded Beast Wars figure from the original G1 Beast War. Not too much to talk about this one. It's fully painted, which is cool. It's Jeremy, what do you think of Black Arachnia here?
I think it looks great. I can see a few things that are, you know, because of the scale, you're seeing like ball joints, but they're doing a good job hiding it. Where like if you look at her elbows, They've actually painted the ball part of the ball joint green, so it blends in nicely. You know, there's not much you can do at that scale to avoid having those visible. I think this looks great. The actual like molding of the face and everything looks spot on. I'm interested to see how it'll look in spider mode, but you know, this looks really good.
Jimmers, what is your thoughts on this Legend scale Black Arachnia?
It's okay. It kind of looks a little plain. I don't know. Maybe it just doesn't look as detailed to me. I'm not feeling it.
Okay.
I'm not feeling it. It's just, I have a, it was one of those, what is it? When, one of the Hasbro, figures is released as a repaint in Japan, but it doesn't get released here. They don't do it so much anymore. I have a Black Arachnia, it was from a few years ago. I think that one actually looks better than this one. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that was the remold of the animated Black Arachnia, wasn't it?
I think so. Mm. I'm too priced out of Masterpiece to invest in the Masterpiece one that's coming. But I'm sure you guys all feel my pain on that.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Charles, you're the other Beast Wars guy in the group here. What are your thoughts on this?
It looks good. I mean, I think it's pretty detailed for a Legends class figure. I am curious to see the spider mode though, just because, you know, given how badly the Masterpiece figure hides the robot bits in its spider mode, I'd like to see if this one does a better job. But in general, it looks like it's a pretty good figure. I think the proportions are a little, just, I don't know, something's a little bit off. I mean, I know the computer model is I mean, it's pretty buxom here, you know, to mimic the computer model from the original show. But I don't know. It just seems a little like a little, the proportion just seems slightly off. I don't know why, but it's just a tad bit off.
And I don't know whether you guys had ever seen this before, but it kind of looks like she's wearing one of those Tata towels. You ever heard of those?
No, but I guess I can guess what it is, but never. Had not heard of this. Was not familiar with this.
Take a look at the link I provided you, or just Google search Tata
Holy
towel.
Holy shit, the pictures that came up. I thought you were full of it, Daryl, but
no,
it's a thing.
It's a thing. It's a legit thing. Okay? And it was on, I'm going to guess this is Shark Tank or Dragon's Den, one or the other. But it's a thing. And it's a towel that the ladies put around the back of their necks. And they put their breasts in the ends of it. And this figure looks like it's wearing a ta-ta towel. So that's all I could see.
NSFW.
It's clothing. It's literally clothing. It's not safe for work. It's clothing. It's yeah. Anyway, I wanted to just bring that up because that's all I could think about when I saw this. But anyway, Yoshi, I'm not going to really ask you your opinion on this unless you have it. But I wanted to ask you what you thought about my next thing was Iron Factory's EX-38 Optics Hunter. And it's their Hound figure. And I really, really like this thing. This is a Legend Scale Hound. And it pulls off the Jeep mode, you know, in a Legend Scale fashion. It's decent. But the robot mode, that's awesome. Like, this thing looks killer to me. And this thing being Legend Scale, I am all over this thing. You know, I'm not a huge, huge Hound fan. This thing is, you know, this thing is really sparking my interest. Even on the backs of, you know, what you're going to talk about this week. But I really was interested in what you thought, Yoshi. What's this Legend Scale Hound? You know, give me your thoughts.
Sure. As the quote-unquote funny guy on the show and you not wanting me to comment on the boobs, I feel like that was a missed opportunity and it needs to be reflected in your pay. With that said, no, I fucking love these little things. I want this. I want it, Daryl. That's where I'm at with it.
It's, you know, it doesn't look like it has rubber tires. That's fine. It's Legend Scale.
Yeah.
He looks like beefy.
He looks
badass.
Poseable as fuck is what he looks like.
I'm that all about Iron image? Factory. So yeah. Awesome.
Jump in on this, Jimmers. Tell me what you got here.
Not only am I like Iron Factory is my de facto line that I'm collecting. Like I'm getting these more than I like getting these more than Masterpiece figures now because of how good they've gotten.
And the price.
Like I have the DJD, the ones that are out still sitting in my stack at TF Source. And I haven't reached that free shipping amount yet, so I haven't shipped them. But I'm dying to see those. But this looks incredible, this Hound. My God, the articulation is fantastic. And, you know, not to take anything away from Hasbro on their, you know, most recent Hound figure, because I just recently got that guy. And I think he's pretty awesome, too. But this is, oh, man, I'm sure you have some Iron Factory stuff, Daryl, right? Yeah, this is just their quality has just anytime I go to a TF Con, I end up leaving with like three or four of them, you know, because I just love what they do. I think they're awesome. And this Hound is incredible. So I'm all about this.
Jeremy, I know that you are a Hound fan and I know that you like, you know, these little Legend Scale figures. Looking at this, have you been able to notice that it appears that it comes with three sets of interchangeable hands?
I noticed at least two. I didn't notice three.
You've got two closed fists with no peg hole. You've got obviously a peg hole because he's holding a gun in two of them. And then you've got the open hands. So there's three. Yeah.
Oh, nice. I love, you know, the just like how they show you mixing and matching in the pictures where you'll have the gun plus an open hand and stuff. And this figure is amazing. I love it. You have ankle tilts. You have, I mean, like you said, so much posability in this thing. They have outdone themselves with this figure.
Mm-hmm. I would buy this before I would buy the new Masterpiece.
Yeah.
There you go.
You can tell it's not your strict, you know, G1 looking Hound. It's kind of an upgraded, bulkier figure, but I love it. I think he looks great.
Right on. And Charles? You don't have any Iron Factory stuff, right? You're not a fan at all? I should probably just skip skip you.
I hate Iron Factory with a passion. No, I am also a fan of these little legend scaled figures. And this Hound does look really good. Hound is not like one of the major characters I have an attachment to, but this is a really nice figure. It's really well done. And yeah, if you're a Hound fan, I think you should, you know, this is definitely going to be more reasonably priced than the Masterpiece Hound, as I think Yoshi will get into in a little bit. But yeah, it looks good.
Right on. Now, before I let you, Jeremy, take over here, Yoshi, have you been able to pull your face away from the Tata Towels website? What do you think of the Black Arachnia?
I feel like Black Arachnia is getting away pretty easy when we just berated that third-party RC. That's all.
Oh, okay.
Also in Iron Factory's Hound's hands here, they would look huge.
Jeez. All right, then. I'm done. Jeremy, please say something else.
All right, how about I cool off with some business news? So we have news out of Australia that this Hobby Warehouse has acquired the license for Toys R Us in Australia and New Zealand, where Toys R Us has never existed before. And starting online next week, they will have an online store. Hasbro is working with this, will be working with this Australian Toys R Us. They did say here that previously Toys R Us was focused on large physical retail stores, and they are going to be focusing more on smaller stores. They're calling it physical experience centers that allow children and their families to see and touch their products. So it looks like they're going to be going mainly online with smaller stores scattered around. This is good news for you know, people in Australia and New Zealand. I know they were burned by that, was it Shadow Panther that was going to be an exclusive, and they had pre-orders, and then Toys R Us went up. You know, they got the license from this True Kids company, which is what I believe the previous Toys R Us kind of morphed into, True being TRU. So the speculation here is that maybe if this is successful, we'll see them license out the same model elsewhere. You guys have any comments on this? I mean, not really that much to say. None of us live in Australia, although we do have some listeners down there.
According to the website, this is going to go live. By the time this show goes up, the website will have gone live. So at toysrus.com.au. It's right now, we're recording it on Sunday. It says it has 1 day and 19 hours to go. So by nice. Wednesday, it should be up.
Does Toys R Us still exist in Canada, Daryl?
Oh, hell yeah. Going strong.
Cool. We're planning on making a stop on the way up there next month.
Yeah, you'll probably, from where you guys cross over to head to Toronto, you'll probably pass about 10 to 12 of them.
Wow.
And the best thing is, your dollar is worth more than Daryl's dollar.
Yes.
See, the next thing I have, and this is just amazing, Ocean Design, via their Weibo account, has posted pictures of a jigsaw puzzle with a classic G1 box art. And these are going to be officially licensed. They'll be available in 300 and 1,000 piece versions. And they show also here that it could be lifted after assembly. I'm not sure if that is...
It's a form of black magic.
I wonder if this is maybe before this particular one was separated and it was a test thing. In my experience, jigsaw puzzles don't do that. But still, these are amazing. I mean, you know, this is the art that we love. It was just in that... that book that IDW put out with the box art that I recently got. It's on the back of the Ectotron box. And what do you guys think? Jimmers, you going to be picking these up? Are you a jigsaw fan?
I love this. Yeah, this, because I had the original one that's pictured here, the very first, the 84 box art. the one with Prime in the lower left. I had a 100-piece puzzle when I was a kid that my dad got me when he went on a hunting trip, and he brought it back for me. And so this brings back memories of that. What was weird is that it was sealed, and when I put it together, it was missing a piece. So I will definitely be picking this up just to sort of rekindle those memories. I love that. Are all of the designs from all across the, like, 84 to 91, are all of them going to be made?
I don't know. We see this one and we see the Metroplex and Triptychon.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like, totally. I'm all over this.
So I don't know. I would imagine that we'll do more. I mean, it seems like it's an easy thing. I mean, people have discovered that jigsaw puzzles generally have the same pattern. So we could even do some mix and match.
Oh, yeah. I would love to have that Triptychon Metroplex one. That's awesome.
Isn't the Triptychon Metroplex one is that a Japanese exclusive? Because we had different Metroplex box art on the U.S. 86, season 3 86 line. Because the one we had has Metroplex in city mode with his head popped out.
Yeah, we did. Good call.
See? I don't know. That Hobby Lobby print that I got years ago that has like the slices of different ones has a slice of this one.
Yeah, but I don't think we got this on the original toy box art back in the day in the 80s.
Hmm.
I think this was only in Japan.
That makes it even more desirable because I don't have any Japanese boxes, so I'll definitely grab that for sure.
Charles, what do you think? Are you going to get this?
Yeah, I mean, it might be something fun to do with the kids, put a puzzle together. I don't know if I can do the 1,000-piece version, though. I think 300 is enough.
Oh, come on.
But I guess we don't know if these are coming stateside yet, though. I mean,
I would imagine they are. I don't see why they wouldn't.
Yeah, just I hope we get some more information about when these are coming out. But yeah, I would definitely like to pick these up.
Cool. Always assume you guys get everything.
Everything but a Toys R Us.
And Ectotron.
I thought we were getting that. Are we not? Okay.
In July.
Not yet. Okay.
Not yet.
Yoshi, are you a jigsaw puzzle guy?
I is. I'd like one of each.
Are you the type that would like glue it after and frame it?
No. If I was interested in that, I would have probably picked up the IDW portfolio thing that came out not too long ago that you got.
And Daryl, how about you?
I have a puzzle from back in the 80s. It's a Starscream one. It's supposed to have been like a 3D puzzle. You could do an actual puzzle with it, and then you could flip it over and use it to make like a 3D puzzle. I put it together once to check and see if I had all the pieces. One of them is broken, but all in all, I have all the pieces. But other than that, I have done nothing with it. So I probably wouldn't buy these. It's a cool idea, though. I like it. It's great, great images.
Cool. Well, that is everything I got this week. Yoshi, what do you got?
Well, I have some updated images on the Masterpiece 47 Hound that Daryl alluded to earlier, and I've got a price for this guy. This thing is pretty well decked out with accessories and posability and an updated spike. And it's pricing in at $160 U.S., which, according to Jimmers, is a little high.
A little.
And I don't know how much this is. Like, I hope you guys have an answer that I don't, because I don't know how much of this is the cost of materials going up, Hasbro, Takara being greedy, and or tariff issues with China that we are currently expressing.
That's what I wanted to ask you guys and get your opinion on, because does anyone remember getting Masterpiece Prowls for $70?
Yeah.
Yes.
So these are produced in Vietnam now, not in China.
Okay.
But I think what we speculated before was the mold reuse. There really isn't that much they can do with Hound. There's, you know,
Prowl came out in the States. We got it for, I think it was $60. But I think I remember I still have a Masterpiece Prowl in the box the from Toys R Us that I think I paid $60 for.
Yeah, it was around 60 or 70 because Blue Streak too.
So this is basically more than double, almost triple the retail price of those Masterpiece cars. So, I mean, I don't think costs have gone up that much.
It's getting out of hand. Like, you know, I was throwing a fit at Deluxes going to $19.99 and Voyagers going to $30. And I'm just like, come on now. You know, now Masterpieces are getting way out of hand. And I got to, you know, I got to say enough is enough somewhere. I'll just stick with my Iron Factory dudes.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It makes me sad because this is one that I was really looking forward to. And I just can't justify that cost.
I'm right there with you.
Well, how do we feel about the accessories, Daryl?
I think they're good. I don't remember if Hound ever had a tonneau cover like that kind of thing. Like, did he ever have the beige covering on? I don't.
Proto Man tweeted about it. It was one episode of G1 where they went underwater. Like, I think it was Atlantis Arise was the episode, and all the Autobots went underwater.
And the fabric cover kept the water out? Okay, well.
It was a cartoon, G1.
It's G1 for you, okay.
It only falls apart when you question it, asshole.
Yeah.
What are some of these other accessories? What's the little thing that looks like a key?
That's the key to Ravage's cage.
All right. That's kind of a cool little detail. All right.
Obviously, you've got his gun. You've got the mirrors because they'll likely break off. I don't know if they're you could use them or you could store them away. The gas can is an accessory from the G1 toy. The wheel is an accessory from the G1 toy. The other cannon is for his alt mode, multiple faces, the hologram, obviously. I don't know what the cone of silence thing is here, but
that's got to be the hologram projection from the gun.
Must have been.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's a good. Yeah, well done there. I didn't think of that. But yeah, so other than that, they're good accessories. It's a nice assortment. Yeah, $160 or $112 $212 Canadian is a little ridiculous for this thing. Yeah, I mean it's a nice figure. I like to I would have liked to have gotten it, but like I was saying last week, I have my Fans Toys Willis and it's done very well on its own. I have no intention of replacing it.
Well, Jeremy, are you going to be getting the updated Spike?
I doubt it.
DJ Ronan mentions in the chat, he's saying that the Masterpiece figures are still made in China and only the mainline figures are made in Vietnam. So if that's true, then the tariffs are going to affect things.
Well, at least for us, then Daryl's going to be getting a deal.
There you go. Well, maybe I'll have to keep you posted on what the Masterpiece Hound prices are here in Canada. I'll keep my eye open then, wherever they show up.
All right, Jimmers, how do you, price aside, how does this figure look to you?
It's all right. I mean, it's kind of, after seeing that Iron Factory one, this car looks like a turd now.
Aw.
But, no, I mean, if it weren't 100, I would pick it up for 60, 70 bucks. I would pick it up for what was standard, you know, Masterpiece price back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm sounding like an old man, but
you are.
Back in my day, a Masterpiece figure was $70, but you know, now I can with the rest of you guys, I can't justify that cost. It's ridiculous. Isn't the new Prime something like over $400, the Prime that's coming out?
Yeah. Actually, you know what? Maybe I'm calling it audible here because we have feedback that pertains directly to the rising Masterpiece cost. So maybe we should just like mention that feedback real quick since it's in the same discussion. So we won't come back to it.
Kyoshi's section. He's the feedback guy anyway.
There you go.
You want me to just cut to that?
Yeah, just the rising MP figure cost. There's two notes about that.
Okay. Well, we will cut first to Fireheart76, who wrote in, "What do you think of the increasing prices of Masterpiece figures? It wasn't long ago that Megatron went for $230-ish, and now Prime is costing over $400. With the recent reveal of Hound's price at $160, it seems as though things are getting out of hand. Since when does a car-sized bot go from almost as much as an MP10? I mean, that's what we're bitching about. You know, I know that triple doctorate Charles, this is nothing. This kind of fund means is not a financial burden to him at all. And I'm expecting a Christmas gift from him this year. So it's just not in my demo anymore.
I mean, anyone with a TV his size is just throwing around
them. You're right.
Does anyone remember what Masterpiece Soundwave went for when it first came out?
$160.
There you go. I mean, come on. I'm looking at mine right now, and I'm just like, it's so much.
I think that's the Canadian price. It was actually $120 at Toys R Us, because I feel like I bought mine for $120.
I can't be expected to remember every price for every country, Charles.
I think you're right, Charles. I think it was around $120, and that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that brings up a good point, guys. So we got the Rat Bat as a knockoff. So then are we going to want to buy the knockoff Hound?
I'd buy the knockoff Hound for $70. I still think, what does the Masterpiece Ironhide cost? Is it in the,
I think it was 190-ish range. Maybe 90. 90 for you, 120 for me.
I still think mold reuse plays
it
into
does.
This a lot.
It definitely does.
I mean, they're not going to be able to get as much money back.
Yeah.
Sure, but they could potentially with Optimus Prime.
Of course they will, and Optimus Prime is going to earn them like 12 times as much money back.
Yeah, that one's a money grab. Plain and simple, that's a money grab. They're going to release, you know, 20 different recolors of that figure.
I want to go back to my previous question, though. Are we going to seriously consider this figure, this Hound figure, as a KO? Would we purchase it as a KO?
Hound is not my figure, so I'm not looking for a Hound, personally.
Well, we've already discussed the fact you can afford multiples of the Hasbro release. We're not worried about you.
I don't buy KOs, so no, for me.
All right.
I would be more likely to buy that Iron Factory one now. You know, just to have an awesome Hound.
All right, Daryl?
I tend to not buy my, KO Masterpiece figures because it's a crapshoot. You can either get one that's like super good and, you know, really tight, or you can get one that's a floppy fucking mess. So,
well, I feel one for one with that Rat Bat right now.
That Rat Bat is, I honestly, I don't even call that a KO. I mean, I know that that's the go-to for it, but that's that's more like a factory second.
Okay.
It's made by the same factory.
It's a lunchtime special.
Exactly. It's made by the same factory, and they just decided that they're going to, you know, the ones that they couldn't actually sell in the proper boxes, they just kind of put in a pile, and somebody took them home and put them on eBay, and we got a couple. So,
so Dinobot wrote to follow up here, "Do you think Takara Tomy has started putting more accessories into Masterpiece figures due to the third-party market? Do you think accessories justify the increase of price of Masterpiece figures? Do you think this is a reasonable amount of accessories to put in at that price point, and why?" I'll start, I guess, since I read the question. You know, third-party is a competitor, and it makes everybody step up their game. I think there's some good arguments for having third parties around. I'm not seeing any increase or crazy quality updates in their accessories. I mean, nothing about that sticking out as a bonus or to justify the cost. But let's go to Daryl, because this is Toys Are Your Realm, sir. How do you think third party is affecting everything, and how do you think these accessories add to the price?
I think third party has made a big impact into these Masterpiece figures and their design, especially when it comes to accessories, just because you see it with figures like, those third party Megatrons that we had come out, the one that, I can't remember the name of it, the one that everyone kind of shit on, but it was the go-to for a while. Apollyon, yeah, that one. That one came with a pile of extra little bits. That's just the way that the, you know, they had to be able to differentiate themselves from the market, was to add in a whole bunch of accessories to kind of give their figure a leg up on the other Megatron that was coming out, right? So to combat that, you know, Masterpiece is going to do the same thing, but they're going to do it and they're going to be official as well. So, you know, do you want to get all the accessories that you could possibly get with Masterpiece Hound? Yeah, that's really cool. That's just something that they got to do, I guess. It's to compete with the market. If third party had never existed, would we even still be getting Masterpiece figures? Is even a better question. But I think definitely if we didn't have third party and Masterpiece did exist, I don't think we'd be getting the same amount of accessories. It's just, it's something that they've had to do to compete with the third party market. That kind of stuff is even coming into the mainline stuff too. It's just, you know, it's a lot smaller scale, but yeah.
Okay. Charles, you got any comments?
I think another thing that maybe third party has shown is that people will pay exorbitant amounts for high quality figures. So maybe the Takara folks feel like, well, if third party is going to charge this much for their figures, we should charge that much too, and people will pay for it. Maybe that's one of the downsides of the third party market. For me personally, I don't need all the extra accessories, all the little bits. I mean, I think a few are fun, but the amount that they're adding on is getting ridiculous for me, and I definitely don't think it's worth a tremendous rise in price for each figure. So if you gave me a Hound and you say knock off half the price, but you don't get all those accessories, I think that would be a much better deal. But they don't listen to me when they produce these figures.
I almost hate this level of speculation because we don't know for sure what is causing these price increases. And I'd like to see that in black and white. Jimmers, what do you think? Do you think all of this stuff justifies the price? Do you think...
Nope.
Okay.
I certainly don't. I'm with Big C there. I would gladly sacrifice, you know, a Spike, you know, figure that doesn't even have a face. If I had to give up that stuff to get like a $60 Hound that's still as high a quality as that, then I would do that. But going back to what we were saying earlier, I have Masterpiece figures that come with amazing accessories and just as many as this Hound does that were way cheaper. I don't know if it is the tariffs or you know, the third-party market driving up the price of these, but you know, more money for figures is never a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, not worth it at all.
So, Jeremy, there are some Masterpiece figures where I really like the accessories, and there are ones like this one where I wish they would get rid of the accessories and give me my fucking rubber tires. How do you feel about this? Is this enough for the price, or are you going to pull a Charles and Jimmers and want no accessories for less?
I don't think the accessories they're giving us are really ones that we would desire enough to justify the price. I don't know. I mean, they're always pulling these like random things from one episode that, you know, I don't think a ton of the buying public would even get that reference. I can see why they need to do all these extras because the third parties are doing it, but it's not justifying the increase in price. And, you know, although you can have him pointing that, you know, gun with that clear cone in it, as if he had just turned Spike into glass. That was my first thing I thought of when I saw those. But yeah, these are not enough, in my opinion.
Well, Hasbro, we slammed you, and you should listen to us. And I'll throw it to Charles for what he's got next.
All right, so I have a couple of things from War for Cybertron Siege. We've got transformation videos. Hey, did you know that you can make videos of transformations?
What?
Guess Hasbro's finally figured it out. they finally checked YouTube from 10 years ago and saw people were putting transformation videos on and decided that was a good idea for their official videos, for their official website. So now you can go and see official videos of the new Siege figures. We've got one for Red Alert, Refractor. He's really named Reflector. Brunt, Springer, and Galaxy Upgrade Optimus Prime. You know, they're pretty bare bones. I mean, it's just they've got some techno music in the background and the people, that focuses on the figure and the people transforming it, pulling out all the little hinges and everything. So it's very professionally done. Doesn't really have any of the heart that you get in the YouTube, YouTube reviewer transformation videos. I mean, give me a PR any day, but maybe Hasbro should contract these out to some of our, some of the official YouTube or some of the, popular YouTube reviewers. But
I'd like to have it on note that Charles has forgotten that I used to do these too.
Oh, yeah. Check out Cybertronian Beast.
Hasn't done one in 2, 3, 4 years, but it's okay. I did do them.
Evasion Mode Optimus Prime, everyone. Check that out.
It's the only one I did, apparently.
But yeah, so I did watch a little bit of these. One disappointment I had, Refractor just showed the spaceship mode. They did not show the combined camera mode in the transformation videos. That was all I was really here for, so that was a little bit disappointing.
PR would never have made that mistake.
Or Cybertronian Beast. I'm sure he would have done that too. Springer did show all three modes, so that's good. And Galaxy Upgrade Optimus Prime did show all the, the transforming the trailer and everything. So I guess it's cool. Hasbro finally figured out that people have notoriously always lamented the Hasbro instruction sheets as being pretty bad. So having this as an alternative, I guess, is good. But yeah, I mean, I just thought it was interesting that Hasbro is finally doing this. Did you guys have a chance to look at these? Jimmers, have you taken a look at any of these?
I haven't. I haven't seen these. This is the first I've heard of it.
What about you, Daryl? Did you take a look at your competition?
Yeah. I'm looking at the Springer one right now. And because Springer is a figure that I've been interested in. I have to say I'm disappointed in the fact that as they're transforming him, I can see through the plastic that they've used in the figure. So they fold out some flaps and they twist some things around and I can see the light through the plastic. It just, it just reinforces on the poor quality of the plastic they're using these days on the figures. All in all, I mean, it's nice and slow. Cause I mean, a lot of the audience for these mainline figures is kids and they want to know how to transform these figures that are just, were bought as gifts for them and they look at them and Rubik's cubes. I don't know what the hell I'm supposed to do with this thing. I want it as a robot, but it's a helicopter right now. So, what do I do with this thing? So this seems to be really nice and slow. It shows exactly what they got to do. And, this is exactly what they need. It's fine. I don't have any sound on, so I can't tell if it's talking or anything like that, but
no, there's no talking. It's just techno music in the background.
Okay, cool. So yeah, no, but all in all, I think it's a good thing. I've honestly thought that Hasbro should have done something like this, years and years ago. But yeah, it's mm-hmm. I'm glad that they're doing it. I wonder how long it'll last. Maybe it's just for this wave.
It'll last until the intern that did this moves on.
Yeah.
Yoshi, any thoughts on these guys?
Yeah, I'm going to just follow that up a little bit. I feel like this was a slow work week at Hasbro, and they pushed these out. If the increased cost of the toys we're seeing at our local box stores result in these videos, and these videos getting better and better with time, fantastic. Because I think everybody would rather click on Hasbro's link for How to Transform than anybody else. No offense to the Cybertronian Beasts and the PIAs in the world. But if you have a choice, you're going to go right to the source. And what's missing in this, as Daryl hinted at, is you don't know the person who's transforming this. You don't know their tastes. You don't know what they like. Everything about these toys is going to be awesome in their eyes because they're getting paid by the machine. So I think it would be cool if people like Cybertronian Beast and Pia didn't actually do videos on these figures, but just did reviews and critiques of these videos that Hasbro has put out. That would be fun as fuck to watch, because I really don't think Hasbro is going to keep this up. And I don't think YouTubers have to worry about their critiquing actually being used to improve videos in the future. I think it would just be funny as hell. Because you'd point out stuff that I'm not paying attention to, Daryl, like the transparent plastic. There's just things you guys are aware of that they're either clearly ignoring or have no clue to talk about. I would enjoy that.
All right, Jeremy, you have the last word.
Okay. The last word is anything is better than their printed instructions. So I welcome this. Although I agree, they are not going to keep this up. They don't have to follow through.
Fair enough. All right. One other thing, they also have put out some new official images of some of the Siege figures. I guess this is, are these, I think this is Wave 3. Jetfire, Springer, Brunt, Refractor, and Red Alert. What's interesting about these official images is that they have dimensions on some of them. Like for Jetfire, you can see in jet mode, he's 14.5 inches or 36.8 centimeters, Daryl.
Thank you.
Fuck.
Red Alert is 4.75 inches in car mode, 12.1 centimeters. And 5 inches tall in robot mode, 12.7 centimeters. So all these figures have a little bit of dimensions in their, in some of their photos here, which I haven't seen that before from Hasbro's official images. So
slow work.
Just
week.
Thought that was interesting.
Related to last week's alt mode, I had forgotten that Jetfire had a flipping insignia thing, so you could have a Decepticon insignia on him.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's cool. I wonder if that'll be like part of the new Netflix show, like him going over from Decepticon to Autobot, like him and Starscream being friends and having some kind of break where he joins the Autobots. If that's incorporated into the new Netflix show, that'd be cool.
He's the original pretender.
He had a change of heart. He wasn't pretending.
If only I knew someone who could give me a hint about that. By the way, he's not allowed to do your show, by the way.
Hasbro's, our show specifically?
No, he's not specifically, but he's not allowed to do any shows besides, like, appearances at San Diego Comic-Con or HasCon. Like, he's not allowed to do anything else.
Thanks, wow. Yoshi.
Right now. Like, maybe when the show actually comes out, he'll be allowed to do stuff, but they don't want him doing anything right now.
Okay.
It's not my fault, Jeremy.
For everyone listening, Jimmers is close personal friends with FJ DeSanto, the showrunner of the new Netflix Transformers show that's coming out next year. So at Jimmers for all the inside scoops on the upcoming show.
I just put out his music.
All right, well, that's all our toy topics, so let's move on to some trips to the store. This is where we show off all the cool Transformers stuff we got this week. We do this as a YouTube video that you can see in beautiful high definition and see all of our purchases right there, right in front of you. But we will also have the audio right here to describe everything in detail on the podcast. But you should really check out the YouTube video, too, and see everything we got, because seeing is believing. So without further ado, trips to the store. All right, well, let's talk about some of the stuff we got this week. And Yoshi, we're going to start with you.
Yeah, I got a reissue G1 figure from Walmart. Finally, they restocked Bumblebee, and I'm very happy to have it. I don't know if I approve of Bumblebee's O face, but it's okay. I got one for me and one for my kid.
Oh, nice. All right, Jimmers, over to you. What do you got for us?
Okay, real quick. We're going to rapid fire these. These are all my most recent purchases. I got the Voyager Prime from Siege. Awesome figure. One of the best primes in this scale that I think they've done. Since we were talking about him, I'll bring up the new Hasbro Siege Hound. Also really good. Cool figure. He was probably my most recent purchase. Generations, anyone pick this dude up? The Generation Select Megatron from Hasbro Pulse?
No.
Yeah, it's like got that G2 kind of paint job, camo and stuff. He's probably still up there, but I've been picking up a lot of, ordering from Hasbro Pulse a lot. I got grandfathered into that free shipping thing that they had around when it first went up in February. So, the Soundwave, Charles, you were asking about earlier, but he's got a little buddy, Laserbeak, and he's got a little Ravage in his chest. So, yeah, his chest comes up a little.
Nice.
So, yeah, these are my most recent purchases. And I want to show you guys one last thing, because you guys will be getting one of these. So, these are the test pressings.
Oh.
Respect the Prime vinyl. So, if you look close.
Yeah, there.
Oh, awesome. Wow.
It says, the catalog number, and it says approved there at the top. And this is black vinyl. There's only 10 of these in existence. They only, this manufacturer gave us more test pressings than the last place we dealt with did. We only got 4 of our last vinyl. So they sent us 10, which means each of you will get one of these.
Awesome.
Compliments of Distortion and Jimmers.
Awesome.
I want each of you to get one of these. You'll be the only ones with the black vinyl version of this. There's 10 of them. So there's one for myself, one for Chase, the other, my partner, the 4 of you, and the remaining 4 will be sold for probably a very high price.
Nice.
So, I know Doug was, expressed interest in Doug or not in, yeah. expressed interest in one. So at anything else, if we don't have it, the actual edition with the art and the colored vinyl for sale at TFCon, you guys will at least be getting that.
Awesome.
So
that's awesome. Well, thank you, man.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jimmers.
You're welcome.
That's amazing.
You're welcome. So
really
it's a special, thing, and you guys are my boys, so I'm going to make sure you guys got one.
Oh.
Compliments of the Distortion peoples. And that's all I got. I went through that pretty quick, as I could.
Thank you so much. That's awesome.
You're welcome.
All right, Jeremy, top that.
I can't. And I'm pulling from the vault this week. I didn't have anything new. There was no new comics or anything. But I did run across a tube I had of posters and lithographs from BotCon, like, years ago. And I thought these were neat. This is from BotCon 2011. This is lithograph. I have two of these. This is tech specs of animated characters, including the Transformers Club exclusive ones, with the kind of the where you have to have the decoder for it. So this one is Decepticons, and then I have one here. Or the Autobots, and or the other one, I wasn't pulled out, but this is done by and signed by Derek J. Wyatt.
That's
so
cool.
Both of them were, and I forgot about this until I pulled them out, and I need to get them so it's not curled up like this, but I need to frame these. I think they're awesome. So that's all I got this week.
All right. I finally had some luck with a Siege figure at a local Walmart. That day that I found the G1 Swerve reissue, I also found a Siege Chromia. So there she is. It's a good figure. There is actually no battle damage on this figure, so that's a plus for me, because I am really hating the battle damage. But she's a nice figure. One thing that's I find kind of odd, she came with these really tiny, I guess they're EMP grenades, but they're really tiny accessories, and then her gun also comes into two pieces, so you can, yeah, like...
That's that new... Make it a... The new port that they have.
Yeah.
You can put the little rubbery firing pieces from various figures on them.
Yeah. So, I mean, these are like instant loss pieces, I think. These are the pieces that everyone's going to be hunting for in 10 years because they're really tiny. All right, Daryl, you're bringing us home. I know you went to a Comic-Con this weekend, so you must have some good stuff.
I did go to a con. I went to Niagara Falls Comic-Con, and we're going to talk about it a little bit more in alt mode this week, but I met some people there. One in particular, comic book related, was George Perez. He didn't work on anything Transformers related, but this guy deserves mentioning because he's an absolute legend. Little book called The Infinity Gauntlet. So I met him. He signed it. I also got it signed by Jim Starlin there as well. But George Perez is an absolute legend. He's drawn for absolutely like decades, and it's one of those guys that you want to meet and you want to say hello. He's on a retirement tour right now. He's doing 6 shows. This was his only Canadian appearance. And I wanted to get the chance to, you know, meet him and say hello and get some books signed. So I did that.
Em and I are meeting him in Vegas next weekend at the Vegas Comic-Con.
Better get there early and get your ticket in line, because they're giving away tickets to meet him and to get your stuff signed. So it's only five items per person. So if you got two people, bring 10 items, obviously, but... It'll be a busy place. Jeremy was at C2E2.
Yeah, and the line was just insane, and I just didn't even.
Yeah, so it's one of those people that if you get the opportunity to say hello, do it. One of the big things I got done was I got to meet Christopher Lloyd, and got a DeLorean signed by the Doc himself. That's going away and getting preserved. But as far as Transformers, I got this. This is from Transformers Prime. It's Legend Scale Unicron Megatron. This is extremely rare, this little figure. You wouldn't think so, but look it up. It's like a $60 figure. So,
and you paid?
$15. So, nice. It's missing his sword. So hopefully I can come across that. It's a very dark purple, the same as the rest of the dark purple on them there. But yeah, this is a figure that was released as far as like right at the end of the Transformers Prime line, and we did get them here in Canada. I remember I was working at Toys R Us at the time, and they did start showing up. This was in the same wave as Bludgeoned and Legend Scale Ultra Magnus. But this guy came out, and this was the only way you could get a Unicron Megatron, which actually appeared in the show. This figure went, you know, kind of bonkers as far as price wise. So yeah, that's it all. That's all I got this week. It was a really busy weekend. The Comic-Con took up a lot of time, but there'll be more about it in alt mode. I got a really cool interview.
All right, well, that will do it for Trips to the Store. All right, we're back from our trips to the store, and we're going to finish up the show now. So we've been, you know, going a little bit long, and we want to, you know, keep it. We always try to keep the show close to an hour. So Yoshi gets grumpy if we don't do that. So
current recording time, 2 hours. It's going to be some serious cuts made today, boys.
Yeah, well, a lot of those technical problems too.
Yeah.
All right. Again, Jimmers, want to thank you for joining us this week. And everyone, check out Respect the Prime, the LP, the vinyl edition. Pre-order that. Also, if you don't already have copies, check out the original Respect the Prime album and the Constructed Cold EP and all the Electronic Saviors albums as well. I think you can all get all those at the Distortion Productions website, distortionprod.com. And it all goes to a worthy cause for cancer research. So help Jimmers, help us kick cancer in the ass.
Thank you guys for having me.
Jimmers, I just wanna remember. So you're selling like crazy the purple ones, right?
Yes, they're selling, very, very much more than the red ones are. Yeah.
Okay. And this is just a limited run. So if these guys want the purple one, they got to act.
Yeah, it's 150 purple, 150 red, and I think, we're down about 20 purple already.
Gotcha.
So,
all right.
And I do have, other than, the TF Cons, I do have like two other, fests I'm vending this at. So, I do plan on selling them out by the end of the year.
Now, can you give us an assurance that if you go to press more, you won't do the same colors? If that happens.
That is not a bad idea, actually. But I couldn't promise, so we'll get there when we get there.
Gotcha. Okay.
All right. Thanks everyone for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye bye.
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 Later.
See ya.
Hey everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
DJ Ronan, I came here first because I like you the most.
I was about to move myself over, but somebody else joined the chat, and then the entire thing moved up on me.
Well, you were struggling with button pushing, and we didn't want you to let me
know. I was not. I was enthralled by the instructions being given on how to push buttons. It was fantastic. Give me a prescription on how to push buttons. Go home and push buttons for 15 to 20 minutes a day for 7 days, then come see me again.
All right. Well, we have Jimmers here, so.
This podcast has taken a fucking nosedive since we were on it last time.
You're talking about pushing buttons. That's like all I do on the show.
We know.
I didn't write any intros this week, so that I don't take any responsibility for them.
So they'll be good.
Maybe.
I just want it on the record that if Mike needs to edit the shit out of me to get this thing in an hour, please do.
All right. Mike, cut Yoshi out of the show.
It's all like right. Every other show, Mike. Just remove my track.